All right, let's call this meeting of the Senate Resources Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 3:32 p.m. on Monday, April 19th, 2021, and also that we have a quorum present today, our Senator Machicki, Vice Chair, Senator Stevens, Senator Keel, Senator Von Imhoff is excused, Senator Kawasaki is also excused, and myself, Chairman Rivak. Senator Bishop is on his way. Staffing the committee today, committee aide Betty Tangeman, LIO moderator Nate Williams, and we have Christopher Dickrell online from records. As always, thanks to you all for all the work that you do. On today's agenda, we have one bill, SB 97, state lands, sales, and leases, which we plan to move, and then we're going to hear additional public testimony for the governor's appointees to the Board of Fisheries and the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission. I'd like to welcome Senator Bishop, and we're going to go ahead and get started with SB 97. We first heard and had public testimony on this bill on March 17th, and I'd like to invite Marty Parsons, Director with the Department of Natural Resources, to provide a brief overview of the bill before we take up the committee substitute. So, Mr. Parsons, if you could please introduce yourself for the record and begin.
Good afternoon, Senator Rivak. My name is Marty Parsons. I am the director of the Division of Mining, Land, and Water based here in Anchorage. So, yes, there are several changes to the bill and the committee substitute, and we can start working our way through those if you would like. The first is pretty straightforward. It's a change to the name of the bill. We're removing the Rec Rivers portion of that of the title of the bill, and we'll get to the reasons for that just a little bit later. We have an amendment to Section 2 of the bill, which is a clarification. We worked with the Alaska Municipal League. They had asked for a change in the wording on how we would identify the standards and conditions for which we would build our roads. Those changes made sense, and so we have adopted those changes, and that was found in Section 2. Basically, that says in they must conform to the subdivision control ordinances of the municipality in the same manner and to the same extent as private landowners. Basically a minor change, but one that the Alaska Municipal League had asked for, and we saw no reason not to adopt that. If we look at Section 13 of the bill, we have when we started with this, we were identifying a federal program that would identify economic opportunity zones. As we worked through it, it was determined that was not proper for us to maintain that reference, since that is a federal bill and will sunset in a few years. And so to be more consistent with existing federal or state statutes and how they're prepared, we removed that language. And if I remember correctly, Director Dave Shady should be online as well. I think Dave will speak to sections 15 and 16, which has to do with the agriculture portion of the bill and some of the changes that we've made there.
Sure. Thank you, Director Parsons. And maybe we can do that after we adopt the committee substitute here in a moment. And it looks like... Yes, please continue.
Senator Rivak, thank you. The big change in the bill is, after listening to the conversation and reading some of the responses that were made to the original bill, we've determined it's in the best interest of all to request the removal of the portion of the bill that would have rescinded the Rec Rivers portion of the bill. That would be sections 19 and 20. There are many stakeholder groups that are involved that are affected by the changes in this, and it is a relatively complex issue, and we believe it's worth a more robust conversation where we'd have the chance to contemplate those changes and bring together a larger stakeholder group to make those changes if necessary. So we believe at this time it would be in our best interest to remove those sections from the bill.
Well, thank you, Director Parsons. I agree, and I just for the record, I want to thank the Mat-Su Borough Fish and Wildlife Commission for all their input. And I know, you know, these wreck rivers are out there in their area, and so I do agree. It needs a little bit more focused effort, more so than I think does good to this bill that we have in front of us. So I appreciate all your work on that. It's been a collaborative process. Appreciate working with the folks from the governor's office and you and the rest of folks at DNR, and as well as the public input. And we believe we have a pretty good solution here with this committee substitute. And maybe we could put this committee substitute on the table and then discuss it a little bit further if I could get a motion.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to adopt the committee substitute for Senate Bill 97, version 32-GS1634/Indigo.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair, and I'll object for further discussion and hand it back over to Director Parsons, and if the committee has any questions after that, for David Shady is online as well, as Christopher Orman from the Department of Law. Any further comments, Director Parsons?
Senator Rebeck, no, I do not believe I have any additional comments. I believe there should be someone there in the room to go through, maybe not. The bill, section by section, if necessary, I am available to answer questions, as is Director Shady, and I know that AG Orman has done quite a bit of work with us on that, so I think I'd be more than happy to entertain questions from the committee on the substitute.
Yeah, Senator Stevens.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to help me understand the foundation of this, Department of Education and Transportation are the two entities that we are talking about, sale of state lands. I was just wondering, what does the Department of Education have? How much land are we talking about divided between those two agencies?
Senator Stevens, through the chair, the Department of Education has very little land. There would be areas in some of the villages. Sitka would be an area like Mount Edgecombe that they had lands. I believe there are some out in Kotzebue and a couple other of the villages where they have small parcels of land that were identified specifically for schools close to statehood. DOT is a different situation. I don't know exactly how much land DOT has acquired for their specific purposes, but both of these bills, or both of these entities, this bill only allows them to dispose of lands that they particularly acquired for their purposes, and especially for DOT, where DOT might have gone out and acquired a right-of-way outside of the regular state land entitlement. This provides them the opportunity to dispose of that land, as opposed to it coming with similar public processes that they have in place, as opposed to having to convey it to DNR, since the state didn't own it under any other entity except through DOT, and then going through the DNR process for the land disposal. So it just makes it easier for these two state entities to dispose of those lands that they may have acquired for their specific purposes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Parsons. I appreciate that. I just had a hard time imagining that there are large pieces of land that the Department of Education had control over, so I appreciate your clarifying that. Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions? Yes, Senator Keel.
On that particular point, I think in the past we've seen legislation that attempts to give DOT these authorities, and folks have had some concerns. So it may be something that wants a further look as the bill moves forward. This piece of legislation has a ways to go, so there will be opportunities.
Thank you, Senator Keel. It does. This does have further referrals to finance. Any other questions? Senator Machicki.
Yeah, quick statement. I think we had some resistance due to the Susitna Basin Recreational Rivers deletion, and I appreciate the fact that folks were willing to listen, as well as the administration, and I appreciate the changes. I think it makes it a good bill better, and I think some folks were very worried about that portion of the bill. So it's how government's supposed to work, and I appreciate it. It does have a ways to go, but I think that was a glaring problem for some folks.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. Any other questions, comments? Everybody feel all right about the explanation of the CS? Okay, well, with that, I'll remove my objection. Is there any further objection? Okay, with that, the committee substitute to Senate Bill 97, version 32-GS1634/I is before us and adopted. All right, do we have, at this point, I would like, if we don't have any further questions or comments on the bill, I'd entertain a motion if that's the will of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move committee substitute for Senate Bill 97, version 32-GS1634/Indigo out of committee with the attached individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Are there any objections? Okay, seeing none, we'll pass around the sheet. The bill moves from committee. We're going to take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. Then we're going to move on to public testimony. All right, we're back on the record, and next we're going to open up public testimony again on all six governor appointees to the Board of Fisheries and the Alaska Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission. We actually did not close public testimony, so we will just move directly on to public testimony. Everybody online, if you could please, we have a lot of folks here to testify. We would like to get through all of you, so please be kind to your fellow Alaskans online waiting to give testimony, and if you could be brief and concise, please clarify who you are for the record, your affiliation, if you have any, which candidates you are commenting about, and if you support them or don't. So your name, your affiliation, who you're calling about, and whether or not you oppose or support them. And again, please be brief and concise so we can make sure everybody has an opportunity to testify. We're going to start out with Al Veazey from North Pole. Al, if you could please put yourself on the record and give us 1 minute. All right, we're going to take
a... Can you hear me now? I'm sorry.
Yeah, there you are, Al. Yeah, please give us, put yourself on the record. We can hear you.
This is Al Veazey. I'm representing myself. I'm a resident of North Pole, Alaska. And based on my 49 years of residency in the 49th state, I would just like to say I don't think there's anybody who could serve better on the Commercial Entries Fishery Commission than Melvin Smith. I've known Melvin personally for 14 years and through business. We got to be friends, and he just has a combination of background and talent and skill that would just be a perfect for being a commissioner. And with that, I'd like to thank the chairman and everybody on the committee for the job that you're doing. I'm very, very grateful that you're the one doing it and not me. So thank you very much, and I'll yield the floor.
All right. Thank you, Al. And next, we're going to move on to Tim Gossett of Kodiak. Tim, please put yourself on the record and give us 1 minute.
Yes. My name is Tim Gossett. I've been commercial fishing for the past 45 years. During that time, I've fished many different fisheries throughout Alaska. I've previously been a homeowner in the Matsu Valley where my son and his family live, and I look forward to the day my grandkids will be old enough, like their dad before them, to fish with me here in Kodiak, where I've run my own boat for the past 34 years. It's important for board members to approach proposals that create allocative issues between areas with an open mind. And just because they want to make changes doesn't mean they should. Mark Carlson Van Dort came to the Kodiak meeting perhaps not knowing exactly what changes to Kodiak's management plan, but knowing she would do something despite the reasoning and data supporting reasons not to. The determination that she needs to make changes lies in the predisposed notion based on her experience fishing in Chignik as well as her family tribal ties to the region. And therefore, there is no doubt that she came to the Kodiak meeting without an open mind and cherry-picked the data necessary to justify purely allocated changes made for conservation. We don't need a board member who will push to make changes despite all evidence showing change is not necessary. Please oppose the reappointment of Mark Carlson Van Dort.
Thanks, Tim. Next, we're going to move on to Chuck McCallum. Chuck from Anchorage, if you could please put yourself on the record and begin. Give us a minute.
I'm Chuck McCallum, a retired Chignik commercial fisherman residing in Anchorage. I'm here to speak in favor of the confirmation of the Board of Fisheries for Merritt Carlson Van Dort, John Wood, and Mackenzie Mitchell. Merritt Carlson Van Dort brings a balanced point of view to the board. She understands subsistence, fished commercially for over 10 years, has academic training in fishery science and conservation biology, and she does listen to all sides. I believe that if the Board of Fisheries had not changed the Cape Igvac Management Plan at its January 2020 meeting, that we would not be here now listening to complaints from Kodiak fishermen about Merritt Carlson Van Dort. Many fishermen expect the Board of Fisheries to have a bias towards the status quo. To have the board show up in Kodiak with a truly open mind really made the whole meeting less predictable and more volatile. Board members were offended and spoke passionately about their workload and what it takes to be open to all public input. From the first hours of the meeting, Merritt Carlson Van Dort was singled out for complaints against her character and integrity, largely because of perceived conflicts of interest. But she made full disclosures, and the Department of Law determined that she had no conflict of interest. The Board of Fisheries meetings can be a pretty hostile place when challenging the status quo. John Wood has demonstrated an extraordinary ability to listen to and understand all sides of complicated issues. We need intelligent, perceptive, and fair-minded people like John Wood on the board. Mackenzie Mitchell has limited experience on the board because of the pandemic, but she's made an effort to educate herself this last year and presents herself as fair and open-minded. Her economics background should be a welcome addition to the skill set on the board. She has the makings of a good board member. Thank you for your consideration of my comments.
All right. Thank you, Chuck. Next, we're going to move on to Mike Wood from Chase. Mike, if you could please put yourself on the record and give us 1 minute.
Thank you. My name is Mike Wood. I call today representing myself. I'm a Northern District set netter. I'm the last net before the mouth of the Sioux in the mud. I'm the vice chair of the Upper Susitna AC, and I'm the chair of the Matsu Fish and Wildlife Commission. I am calling in today to voice my support for Merritt Carlson Van Dort and John Wood. I first want to say that I appreciate just listening. I appreciate that you guys just listened to the comments provided by the Mat-Su Fish and Wildlife Commission regarding Senate Bill 97 and Rec Rivers. Really appreciate that, you guys. As far as Marit Carlson-Van Dort, last year's Board of Fish meetings for the Upper Cook Inlet, she took the time to travel to the up here into the Susitna area. She flew and visited the sites on Chilatna, Judd, and Larson up on the Yetna and Susitna and listened passionately to what we had to say up here. She was almost hard to get a hold of during the Board of Fish meetings because so many people wanted to talk with her, and she was reaching out to so many of them. I give a lot of credit to these people that donate their public time to this kind of service. And I think her instincts and what she knows about the Chinook fishery and how the Northern District, especially being at the end of the line, is affected by allocation decisions. And I believe she made the correct decision and did it well with good education, very well educated on that, and listening to the people that live in these areas. And so I really appreciate that. John,
hey, Mike, I appreciate it. If you could wrap up, please, if you wouldn't mind.
John Wood, I very much appreciate John Wood for his ability to work with people and his look at science and data. And plus, I see him on the river all the time. So for both of these, I have strong support. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mike. Next, we're going to go on to Lindsay Leyland. Lindsay from Dillingham, if you could please put yourself on the record and begin.
Yeah, thank you. My name is Lindsay Leyland. I'm testifying on behalf of the United Tribes of Bristol Bay, a tribal consortium representing 15 tribal governments and over 80% of the in-region population in Bristol Bay. United Tribes of Bristol Bay, or UTBB, is opposed to the confirmation of Mr. Abe Williams to the Board of Fisheries. First, I'd like to address the question, what does working for Pebble have to do with serving on the Board of Fish as related to a conflict of interest? Well, the purpose of the Alaska Board of Fisheries is to conserve and develop the fisheries resources of the state. It's obviously very well known that Mr. Williams works for the Pebble Partnership, whose mission is to develop the Pebble deposit via an open pit mine, which is located at the headwaters of the Bristol Bay watershed, which the committee is surely well aware of. And it's home to the pristine habitat that produces the world's greatest wild salmon fishery and is absolutely vital to the people, cultures, and subsistence practices of the region. There's a clear and blatant conflict of interest with serving on the board and working for the Pebble Partnership, perhaps none clearer than the fact that the mission of the Pebble Partnership is directly opposed to the mission of the Board of Fish. Conserving Alaska's fisheries versus building an open pit dam and mine and related infrastructure in the exact habitat that fish need to survive. How is it possible for one's job to be to destroy hundreds of miles of streams, wetlands, riverbeds, and tundra, which are all vital to salmon rearing, and then claim you're in support of conserving and developing those fisheries? There's no way that Mr. Williams can have the best interests of his fellow fishermen and Alaska's fisheries as a priority and the company he works for when that company is the Pebble Partnership. And if we were to take Pebble out of the equation, Mr. Williams would still not be a suitable candidate for the Board of Fisheries because he lacks the perspective that previous members have had before him of living and working in coastal Alaska while serving on the board. Appropriate representation of rural Alaska, especially when we're making decisions about the communities and peoples closest to the most productive commercial sport and subsistence salmon runs in the world, is critical for this board to function effectively, fairly, and with a wholesome perspective that branches beyond the rail belt. For nearly 40 years, the board has maintained near constant representation from a Bristol Bay resident. Excluding a Bristol Bay resident now is only doing the people of Alaska, the fate of the state's fisheries management, and the Board of Fish a great disservice, and I'm almost finished. And finally, it's absolutely critical that this committee and other legislators, when considering this nomination, take into account the tremendous outpouring of opposition via public testimony and written comments that were submitted last fall when we went through this confirmation process with the previous legislature. With limited time and opportunity to provide public comment and have our voices heard directly to committee members, I encourage you all to review the hours of call-in testimony that occurred in September of 2020, with
Lindsay,
an overwhelming majority opposing Mr. Williams' appointment, to gain a better understanding of how Alaskans truly feel about this appointment. Thank you for the opportunity to testify, and I'd like to take another minute.
Lindsay, I'm sorry, we've gone a little bit over. If you have real final closing. But
as I indicated when I called in, I'd also like to provide a brief 30-second testimony on behalf of myself as an individual. I'm finished with UTBB's testimony.
Okay, please, quickly, if you wouldn't mind.
Commenting on behalf of myself, I'm a commercial fisherman in Bristol Bay, and I have been for over 15 years. I live and work in Dillingham. I'm simply testifying to oppose Mr. Williams' appointment to the Board of Fish. I don't believe he has the trust of Alaskans, as is evident through lots and lots of testimony. And as Mr. Williams mentioned last week, he was a previous board member of the RSDA. He failed to mention that he sued the RSDA and other groups for their lawful efforts to protect Bristol Bay salmon habitat. So I'm opposed to Mr. Abe Williams. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We're going to move on, and I just please encourage. We said 1 minute because I suppose folks are going to go over a little bit, but we're gonna cut you off at 2 minutes so that way everybody has a chance to testify. Next, we're moving on to Patricia Priety from Dillingham. Patricia, if you could please put yourself on the record and give us your testimony.
Good afternoon. This is Patricia Priety. I've called to give my personal testimony in opposition to Abe Williams' appointment to the State Board of Fisheries. I live in Dillingham, and I've recently retired from drift fishing in Bristol Bay, where I fished for many years. Family was raised on salmon and salmon fishing money, and many family members still continue to fish in the bay, and I hope more generations will be able to make as good a life as we have out of fishing this way. And the main threat to that is the Pebble Mine and its spokesman, Abe Williams. They're a threat to the future of the bay. Mr. Williams already filed a lawsuit on Pebble's behalf against the BBRSDA and other groups opposed to the mine. We've been given a legal opinion on that. The judge dismissed it and called it absurd. And I maintain that confirming an employee of the greatest threat to the Bristol Bay fishery to our Board of Fisheries would be even more absurd, and certainly a conflict of interests. I ask that you use common sense and not confirm Abe Williams. Or as my husband says, don't let the fox into the hen house. Thank you.
Thanks, Patricia. Next, we're going to move on to Francis Leach from Juneau. Francis, if you could please put yourself on the record and begin.
Thank you, members of the Senate Resource Committee. My name is Francis Leach, and I represent United Fishermen of Alaska, and I'm calling to relay UFA's opposition to Mara Carlson Van Dort. Many people believe that this opposition with Carlson Van Dort is a Kodiak Chiganik issue, and I can attest it's a statewide issue. UFA is composed of 37 member groups across the state, from Bering sea crabbers to salmon fishermen and longliners and everything in between. UFA voted unanimously to oppose Carlson Van Dort. For anyone who knows the ins and outs of UFA politics, unanimous opposition for a Board of Fish candidate is very hard to come by, but we did it. Ms. Carlson Van Dort says she was put in a subsistence seat on the Board of Fish. I can assure you, if she was truly a subsistence representative, you would not be hearing from half of the testifiers today, and your inbox would not be overflowing with emails. I spent 7 years working for the Board of Fish, and I can assure you that there's never been this much ruckus and battle between calm fish and sport fish over a subsistence seat. But because Ms. Carlson Van Dort has shown she leans heavily towards sport fish, we are seeing sport fish advocates fighting to keep her in their favor and calm fish advocates opposing her and asking for balance. Commercial fishermen are asking for balance, not a sport fishing advocate hiding under the disguise of a subsistence seat. Currently, 5 out of 7 Board of Fish members live in the Anchorage area. I have absolute faith that Governor Dunleavy would be able to appoint a subsistence user from the coastal or rural Alaska to fill the subsistence seat. Certainly one that wouldn't cause so much controversy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Francis. Next, we're going to move on to Carla Chebnoy from Sandpoint. Carla, if you could please put yourself on the record and begin.
Hi, my name is Carla Chebnoy. I'm from Sandpoint, Alaska, and I represent myself. I fully support Melvin Smith as a CFEC commissioner. I have known Melvin for 40-plus years, and he is an Alaska native and who is very knowledgeable and resourceful in the Alaska fishing industry. I believe that he will be an asset to CFEC as the CFEC commissioner. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Carla. Next, we're going to move on to Israel Payton. Israel from Wasilla, please put yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Yeah, good afternoon, Senate Resources Committee. My name is Israel Payton. I'd like to thank you guys for your service. As you well know, Alaska Resources is a very important issue to many people. I am the most senior member of the Board of Fish besides John Jensen, who I've served with for many years, and I believe he is an excellent board member, even though we've had our share of disagreements. But he is an excellent board member and should be reconfirmed. I have also served the last 2 years with John Wood and Mark Carlson Van Dort, and they are both excellent board members. They've started with a varsity level and continued to impress me the whole time I've been on the board. I feel compelled to testify today because I can't stand idly by and watch what I believe are false accusations and false narratives coming from certain agencies and people about Ms. Carlson Van Dort. I know many of those people have never attended a meeting or seen her in action, and in my experience, she has displayed great character and is an excellent board member. Yes, we make hard decisions, and some decisions make stakeholders upset, but let's not punish someone for making hard decisions. And please don't buy into this false narrative of designated seats. You know as well as I, there are no designated seats, and it's really a false narrative and a rabbit hole to go down that really has no place, in my opinion. And, I'd just like to say don't buy into this cancel culture narrative against some of these board members. And I'd be happy to answer any questions or offer my perspective if you have any. Thank you.
Thanks, Israel. We're going to move on in with public testimony next to Gary Hollier from Kenai. Gary, if you could please put yourself on the record and begin.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Gary Hollier, lifelong resident of Kenai, Alaska, 50-year Eastside set netter in Cook Inlet. Attended 35-plus years of Upper Cook Inlet meetings. Always pretty contentious. I'm going to 100% support John Jensen. He doesn't always agree with me, but what we push for, but he's a fair board member. John Wood, on his own dime, came down to Kenai and visited a bunch of set netters, drifters, and processors before the 2020 Board of Fish. Very impressive that he would try to get educated before a very contentious February meeting in 2020. I testified at the Senate Resource Committee kind of against Merritt Carlson Van Dort, but I now that I think about it, she was a pretty good member at that 2020 board meeting for Upper Cook Inlet, and I'm kind of switching gears on that and would support her for the Board of Fish because she did make herself available. Just follow the science, and I think things will be fine. I listened to Abe Williams' testimony, his personal testimony, why he wanted to be on there, and I would support Mr. Williams, too. I think he would be a fine board member. So, anyway, thank you for your time. Have a good day.
All right, thank you, Gary. Next, we're going to move on to Sue Jeffrey from Kodiak. Sue, please put yourself on the record and begin.
Yes, good morning. Oh, I should say good afternoon. My name is Sue Jeffrey, and I live in Kodiak. Are you picking me up?
Yes, ma'am. Please continue.
Okay, thank you. I've been involved in Alaska's fishing industry since I moved to Kodiak in 1972. I've also been involved in public service, including 2 terms on the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly and 2 terms on the State of Alaska Board of Fisheries. I represent myself. I'm calling today to heartily support John Jensen for a reappointment to the Board of Fish. I served with Mr. Jensen for 2 terms and know him to be a fair and ethical public servant. I also am sorry to, do oppose Ms. Carlson Van Dort's reappointment. As you know, the Board of Fish is charged with conserving and developing our publicly held fisheries resources to benefit the people of Alaska and has done so successfully since statehood. The backbone of fisheries management is the Board of Fish public process, very open public process, and the board's high ethical standards in place to guarantee fair access to Alaska's public held resources. Ms. Carlson Van Dort is an employee of Far West Incorporated and the CEO and president of Far West, the Alaska Native Village Corporation of Chignik. Ms. Carlson Van Dort is on the payroll, and although she says Far West does not derive any direct revenue from fisheries, most of its members do. I think anyone could see and connect the dots and see that Ms. Carlson Van Dort, as head of the Village Corporation of Chignik, has a conflict of interest when considering proposals involving allocation of fish between Chignik and a neighbor, and simply should have recused herself at the Board of Fish meeting in Kodiak rather than vote on specifically the Cape Exec proposal. The public needs to hold board members accountable to the ethical standards in place. I think it is key to Alaska's stellar reputation of managing its world-class fisheries. And regretfully, I do oppose Ms. Van Dort for reappointment. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Next, we're going to move on to Virgil Umfenauer. Virgil from Fairbanks, if you could please put yourself on the record and teach me how to pronounce your name and begin your testimony, I'd appreciate it, sir. Virgil, if you're there, you might be on mute.
How about, can you hear me now?
There, we got you. Yeah, please.
Okay, my name is Virgil Umfenauer. I live in North Pole, and I'm representing the Fairbanks Fish and Game Advisory Committee. We held a regular scheduled meeting via Zoom on April 14th. The Fairbanks AFA voted unanimously to support the confirmation of Merritt Carlson Van Dort and Mackenzie Mitchell to the Alaska Board of Fisheries. Miss Van Dort is born and raised in Alaska with a long family history in subsistence and commercial fishing. She is the only member of the board with a degree in conservation biology and fishery science. She is knowledgeable with both the Gulf of Alaska and Bering Sea fisheries. She has effectively served as the chair of the board. Complaints regarding conflicts of interest are simply unfounded under review of the Executive Branch Ethics Act. Ms. Mitchell has an extensive background in sport fisheries and is the only member of the board with an economics degree. Her expertise will be invaluable in assessing both economic considerations of allocation among different users. Now I want to speak just a minute about my own personal testimony. I served 3 terms on the Board of Fish. I've been on the Pacific Salmon Treaty, the Yukon River Panel, since 1988. The United Fishermen of Alaska, when I had to get confirmed after I had served 1 term on the board for my second 2 terms, they came out against me just like Merritt Carlson Van Dort, like they're doing with her. The issues at Cape Exec that Kodiak's upset about, has been going on since limited entry, whenever the people in Kodiak thought the guys in Chignik made too much money and they wanted part of it, so they gave them 15% of the forecast for the Chignik run at Cape Exec. Upper Cook Inlet, one board member already spoke about Upper Cook Inlet, one Northern District set netter, and one East Side set netter. When I was on the board, we did the same thing. It got undone. After I got off the board, all they did was redid it again for conservation purposes to put fish up into the Susitna River so that they could make escapement on the Yentna River. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Virgil. And my colleague here wants to thank you for your service in the Marine Corps as well and all you've done for the state and nation. We appreciate hearing from you. Next, we're going to move on to Bruce Schachtler from Kodiak. Bruce, if you could please put yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Yeah, hello. My name is Bruce Schachtler. I'm a 50-year resident and an active fisherman in Kodiak. Boy, I find it disturbing that the Board of Fish is coming out to protect their own. You know, the confirmation process is part of the whole governmental program of separation of powers. It's for the legislature to keep track and not let appointments get out of the way. And I certainly hope that when you guys are looking at this, you're looking at it much more objective than just, what's happening politically with the governor or politically with the guy across the table from you right now that's got one of your bills in his committee. The politics has no place for it, and that's what it's gotten worse and worse and worse. We have all the board members, except for, I think, maybe one, living within 100 miles of Anchorage. That is not very good representation. I'm here to say that I don't think you should confirm either Ms. Van Dort or John Wood. They both came into the Kodiak meeting. Mr. Wood, for example, started his testimony off, not testimony, but his introduction, saying that he was there to make sure that more fish got up into the Matanuska Valley where he was from, and that he's there to represent his people. He is not elected. He's appointed to take care of the fish and management. He is not elected by constituents. Nobody should have constituents. He actively worked on a minute-by-minute basis with Ms. Van Dort and Israel Payton to come up with a very complicated proposal that had to have been written long before, because you can't write things like that during a break. One of the proposals they came up with was to make sure that the designation of the Susitna as a stock of concern would limit fishing, eliminate fishing in part of Kodiak area. But then 2 weeks later, they created a brand new fishery for their constituents, as they call it.
Bruce, if you wouldn't mind wrapping up, we'd really appreciate it.
Yes, I will. Everything that trio does is the epitome of special interest. And I think it's your guys' job to take a look at it from that point of view. We're looking for people that represent the resource than people that do not act like they have been elected, but people that have been appointed for the better good of everybody in the state.
All right. Thank you very much. Next, we're going to move on to Richard Gustafson from Homer. Richard, if you could please put yourself on the record and begin.
Yeah, hi. My name is Richard Gustafson. I am a retired biologist for the Department of Fish and Game. I started my career in Bristol Bay in 1973 when the fish didn't come back. The one thing I noticed as a young man coming from New Mexico was how pristine water and the habitat of Bristol Bay and how important it was for our fish. I don't know if any of you were around at that time when the fish didn't come back, but it was declared a disaster during that time period. So at any rate, I'm opposed to Mr. Williams because he lacks the understanding of how important habitat is, because he works for the Pebble Partnership, who has said one thing to one group and another thing to another group, and he can't be unbiased. There are many other people that can represent the state better. They have to be able to understand the importance of habitat and clean water. Mr. Williams does not. Please reject him. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. And I really appreciate the patience, everybody. I know that everybody's passionate about these issues, and I certainly don't mean to be rude to folks. Again, we're just trying to make sure that all the Alaskans online here have a chance to testify. So I just want to be clear about that. And we really appreciate all of you making your time to be here to testify in the committee today. So next we're going to move on to Rachel Allen from Chignik. Rachel, if you could please put yourself on the record and begin.
Hello, I'm Rachel Allen. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm a Chignik resident, the Chignik AC secretary. I've ran a stainer there for 20 years. My husband and I now have a Chignik permit and a Kodiak permit. Chignik has now experienced 3 consecutive years of under-escapement, which forced no fishing for 2 of the last 3 years. Scientists are now seeing indications that this is a marine environment driven. I don't think it's coincidental that the rest of the South Peninsula has also experienced the same 3 years of under-escapement below their minimum goals, yet as interception fisheries keep chugging along, and I suppose that keeps them labeled as sustainable fisheries. But the salmon runs and the escapements are not sustainable annually, like when everything was healthy. These board members that you will confirm have one of the most challenging eras to be working in. They aren't allocating just between the fishermen, the users, but between the fishermen and the rivers. Fishermen usually will catch every fish they can given the opportunity. The department will manage as close to what the board gives them or risk the threat of lawsuits. Any deviation from management plans by the department is viewed as allocative by someone. So, to a large degree, it is the board who now carries the burden of protecting the salmon. I strongly support the members that protect the salmon resources as their first priority. Mart, McKenzie, and Mr. Wood will protect the resource no matter what area they are making decisions for, and that is exactly what Alaska needs right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel. Next, we're going to move on to Virginia Adams from Anchorage. Virginia, if you could please put yourself on the record and begin.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, hi. My name is Virginia Adams. I'm a lifelong commercial fisherman based out of Kodiak. I've been involved all my working life with the Board of Fisheries process, and I respect it very much. I'd like to recognize how much time is spent not just by myself but by the Board of Fish members. It's a tremendous sacrifice for myself personally as a working person. It's countless numbers of hours that I've spent in front of the Board of Fish advocating for specific issues. What I'd like to say is that all users in Alaska depend upon every Board of Fish member being open-minded and without agendas. That's what we all want, whether we're sport fishermen, subsistence users, or commercial fishermen. We depend on the Board of Fish to be this jewel of integrity, and that's what I depend on. And when I went forward in January in Kodiak for the Board of Fish meetings, I did not feel that we had that. I felt that Ms. Van Dort was not impartial, that she actually came with some preconceived notions, and I was very disappointed in that. So I would like to advocate for not supporting her as a Board of Fish member. I totally support the Board of Fish process and have been intimately involved in it all my commercial fishing life, and I don't like having to give this testimony, but that's how I feel. I do not believe that she represents us impartially, and she will not make impartial decisions for the state of Alaska. So thank you for your time. I know your time is valuable, too. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Virginia. Next, we're going to move on to Forrest Braden from Ketchikan. Forrest, please put yourself on the record and begin.
Thank you, Chair Rebeck. I'm Forrest Braden, representing Southeast Alaska Guides Organization today, and we're a nonprofit trade association representing the interests of sport fishing lodge and charter businesses. And we'd like to voice our support for all of the following, the reappointment of John Jensen, the reappointment of John Wood, the reappointment of Mark Carlson Van Dort, and the appointment of Mackenzie Mitchell to the Board of Fisheries. Mr. Jensen has a long tenure on the board. He's kept general support from a lot of different fisheries. He's been approachable for us to work with through the years as an organization, and we really would like to see him remain part of the dialogue at the upcoming Southeast Finfish meeting in January. I've traveled personally to the recent Lower and Upper Cook Inlet meetings. There I observed Mr. Wood and Ms. Carlson Van Dort, among other new members, and I found both acted competently during those meetings, that they were earnest in digging through proposals and dealing with the issues, and that they were also independent, I felt, in both their line of questioning and their thinking. And Ms. Mitchell appears well qualified to us for board participation based on her academic and industry work, and appears to have a real sincere interest to serve on the board. We'd like to see her make it. I'll add that we are not looking for board stacking. We're very interested in fair and objective dialogue on the Board of Fisheries and between user groups. So we encourage this committee to move each of these candidates forward with their respective seats, and thank you for the opportunity to participate.
Thank you, Forrest. Next, we're going to move on to Jeffrey Moore from Chignik. Jeffrey, please put yourself on the record and begin.
Good afternoon, Chairman Rebeck and fellow Senate Resource Committee members. My name is Jeffrey Moore. and I live in the tribal native village community of Chigmik Lagoon on the Alaska Peninsula. And as an elder rural resident, my only current participation in the fisheries is as a subsistence user. I was asked by the Intertribal Village Coalition that represents the five communities of Chigmik Bay, Chigmik Lagoon, Chigmik Lake, Perryville, and Ivanhoe to provide both written and oral testimony in support of all of Governor Mike Dunleavy's Board of Fisheries and CFEC nominees. In 1976, I flew Governor Jay Hammond from Cordova to the Armand Corning Hatchery for the ribbon-cutting opening for the first salmon hatchery in Prince William Sound. This was almost a two-hour flight, just him and me, and we talked a lot, and we established a long-lasting relationship. We discussed a lot of politics over the years, and it was Governor Jay Hammond who appointed the very first members of the Board of Commercial Fisheries, and I've recently reviewed the records of every current and past board member going back to 1975 since the first board, and I compared Mike Dunleavy's current appointees to all the past board members appointed by each and every governor. It is in my humble opinion that whoever selected and vetted the appointees being presented to you for confirmation did an absolutely outstanding job to provide diversity, knowledge, experience, capacity, to assemble what I believe could be one of the best Board of Fish ever assembled that will provide management policies based on environmental science, biology, habitat, public health, cultural and social justice, with conservation and subsistence as a priority, while simultaneously spurring economic growth in the commercial fisheries and providing quality sport fishing and personal use fishing opportunities. I will be mailing each of you to your personal emails, my written testimony following up in this hearing, and thank you so much, all of you, for your public service.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Next, we're going to move on to Gary Klein from Dillingham. Gary, if you could please put yourself on the record and begin. Gary, if you can hear us, you're on mute, maybe. There you go.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Gary Klein, and I'm testifying on behalf of myself as a Bristol Bay Drift Permit owner that lives in Dillingham, and I'm opposed to the confirmation of Abe Williams for several reasons. First of all, his position with Pedal Mine presents a conflict of interest, but I don't want to dive into that because you've already received a lot of comments on that issue. So I'd like to focus on an issue that Senator Machicki raised at the hearing on Friday, and that's about permit stacking. It brings me great concern that Abe already has a predetermined decision about permit stacking within the Bristol Bay salmon fishery or possibly lengthening the 32-foot boat length limit, which do not represent the values of the majority that live within Bristol Bay. Board of Fishery members are supposed to use allocative criteria when determining allocative decisions, like the number of residents and non-residents who have participated in each fishery in the past, and the number of residents and non-residents who can reasonably be expected to participate in the future, the importance of each fishery to the economy of the state, and the importance of each fishery to the economy of the region and local area in which the fishery is located. Well, the majority of fishers in the region are opposed to permit stacking, as we believe it'll hinder the ability for local residents to enter the fishery in the future, which are both crucial pieces when making allocative decisions. Once a permit holder is allowed to hold two permits and fish additional gear, all the top-tier producers will buy the remaining permits on the market. This will increase the already expensive price of a Bristol Bay permit, but drive the market as well. So how will that help curb the outward migration of permits from Bristol Bay, or let alone the state? It's simple. It won't. In closing, and due to time constraints, I'll just skip to the end, and permit stacking is nothing about greed and short-term profits, because it is not the solution to address the graying of the fleet or the outward migration of permits, which is not just the Bristol Bay issue. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Gary. Next, we're going to move to Luke Brockman from Juneau. Luke, please put yourself on the record and begin.
Yeah, hi there. My name is Luke Brockman. I live in Juneau, Alaska. I am a avid sport fisherman, a commercial crew member in the summers, and a young father. I would also like to note that I hold the Board of Fish very close. Fish wouldn't be around, I firmly believe, had the Board of Fish not been here to help pass down good regulations. I am also currently laying in my bed puking with stomach cramps. And I still stayed on the line because I personally believe that Abe Williams has no place on the Board of Fish. This is like nominating a registered pedophile or sex offender to the Board of Education or trying to appoint Lord Vader to the Jedi Council right after he went to the dark side. The conflict of interest by working with Pebble and trying to be on the Board of Fish, I'm sorry, but this is a fox in the hen house situation that I believe is not safe, and I believe that Dunleavy's appointee of him to the Board of Fish merits investigation. Thank you.
Thanks, Luke. Maybe take some Alka-Seltzer or something. I hope you feel better. Next, we're going to move on to Nate Rose from Kodiak. Nate, could you please put yourself on the record and give us your testimony?
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you, Chairman Rivak and members of the Resource Committee. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hello, my name is Nate Rose, and I am the president of the Kodiak Saners Association, representing over 100 Kodiak Sane permit holders residing in Kodiak, Homer, Anchorage, Juneau, and other areas in the state, and as well as out of the state. Crew members and Kodiak and Homer businesses, I am here to voice KSA's opposition on the reappointment of Ms. Marit Carlson-Vandort to the Alaska Board of Fisheries. Our organization's opposition stems from Ms. Carlson-Vandort's actions at our most recent January 2020 Kodiak Finfish meeting, in which she aligned herself with other members of the board in order to pass clearly allocative proposals while using the basis of conservation. The manipulation of scientific data in order to satisfy a decades-old allocative fight between management regions under the guise of conservation has resulted in a violation and erosion of the public trust in the Board of Fish process and an assault on management plans refined by years of Board of Fish scrutiny to provide absolute biological protection for the Chignik fishery while managing Alaska's fish resources for maximum sustained yield. The primary objections of our membership to the reappointment of Ms. Carlson-Vandort are, while not fulfilling the black and white definition of conflict of interest, Ms. Carlson-Vandort had clear-cut personal interests in the proposal she voted and deliberated on in Kodiak, which ultimately resulted in a curtailing of one of the longest-standing allocative management plans in existence. Her justification was false, and knowingly providing it calls into question her honesty, both at the Kodiak meeting and last week at the Joint Fisheries Resources Committee before the House. She shared that the decisions she made were based on conservation or a concern for the fish. Justification under such a false premise has led to the degradation of public trust and a perception of utilization of her public office for personal interest advancement and gain. I'd be happy to answer any questions relative to specific changes to the Kodiak management area and the concerns of our membership. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Nate. Before we move on to the next testifier, I just, everybody online, if you have not submitted your testimony in writing, I just want to remind everybody that you can do so at SRES@AKLEG.gov. That's SRES@AKLEG.gov to submit your written testimony. Next, we're going to move on to George Anderson from Anchorage. George, please put yourself on the record and begin.
Yes. I am George Anderson, president of the Chignik Intertribal Coalition. We represent the tribes of Chignik Bay, Chignik Lagoon, Chignik Lake, Ivanhoe Bay, and Perryville. We are in support of the appointment of Marit Carlson-Vandort, John Wood, and Mackenzie Mitchell to the Alaska Board of Fisheries. These board members have demonstrated that they can act fairly on the conservation and allocative issues that the board decides. During their service, they have consistently worked toward protecting migrating salmon stocks, returning to their natal streams. We encourage the Senate to consider this as you decide on their appointments. We are in alignment with AFN, Kanana Chiefs, and the many tribes who support an Alaska Native woman and subsistence advocate on the Board of Fish. We are proud of Marit's background in conservation biology and fishery science and how she applies that science as a board member. Please retain this important voice. Last month, our governor declared 10 fishery disasters across the state. This is unprecedented. More than ever,
We need people who are qualified and willing to protect migrating salmon resources during these uncertain times. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, George. Next, we'll move on to Chelsea Heisnan. Chelsea, if you could, from Cordova, if you could please put yourself on the record and begin.
Good afternoon, Chairman Rivak. My name is Chelsea Heisnan, and I'm the Executive Director of Cordova District Fishermen United. Like many here, we share concerns about the appointment of Marit Carlson-Vandoort to the Alaska Board of Fisheries, given the questions surrounding the perceived conflicts of interest in her decisions at the Kodiak meeting. It is critical that board members in these seats take the time to listen to and engage with the public, regardless of which user groups they theoretically represent, and that they weigh their decisions carefully using the information presented during the meeting in written and verbal testimony, ADFG reports, and committee work. Additionally, and perhaps more importantly, we have significant concerns that the balance of the board has recently deviated from historical norms and precedents. Though there are no designated seats on this board, coastal communities, those that are most intimately tied to the decisions made by the Board of Fisheries, are vastly underrepresented in its current iteration. The divide between rural and urban areas has become more pronounced, and the balance between user groups on the Board of Fisheries remains heavily weighted towards sport fish interests. We encourage the legislature to carefully consider the comments provided here today and ensure that the balance of the board is not too heavily weighted towards urban, non-coastal regions or toward one user group over others. We would also like to reiterate on the record our support for John Jensen, given his history on the board as a fair, engaged, and well-rounded board member. He has been involved in all user groups over the last 30 years, and his experience within both the sport and commercial sector makes him an ideal candidate for this position. Thank you for your time and consideration of these comments.
Thank you, Chelsea. Next, we're going to move on to Julia Kavanaugh from Kodiak. Julie, please put yourself on the record and begin.
Thank you. My name is Julie Kavanaugh. I'm from Kodiak, Alaska. My family is a commercial fishing family, 100% dependent on that income. I serve on the Kodiak Advisory Committee to the Board of Fish as Vice Chair, the Advisory Panel to the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, and am joint and then on the Joint Fisheries Work Group for the City and Borough of Kodiak, as well as I am a local official in my community, a local elected official in my community. But today I'm giving my own personal testimony. I support John Jensen, who brings a unique position as a member of the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, which manages federal fisheries adjacent to state waters. I oppose Abe Williams and Marit Vandoort, and am very concerned about the remaining appointees and the combined lack of diverse stakeholder and regional representation. Then, of course, there's the combination of a skewed sport and personal use slant on the current board, with the addition of an economist that looks at the undervalued value of those same user groups, meaning that the value of a individually consumed fish is more important than a commercially fish sold to people. I want to talk about the IGVAC decision that was made in January of 2020, which was an allocative decision and did not address the run failure or conservation in that area. Even without the 2020 action, Kodiak would not have fished in IGVAC. That is a true statement, and you really need to think about that. I also have three quotes that I have personally heard. October 2019, quote, "Do not expect agreement when it comes to salmon." That was said directly to me prior to the January meeting. January 2020, during the meeting in Kodiak, that was a great therapeutic exercise. Immediately following, 2.5 days of testimony and hundreds of people commenting on the opposed to the allocative decision. I really would like this the committee members to realize that this is the public's only opportunity to voice concerns that might otherwise go unheard. You don't have to have a legal reason for not supporting an appointee. This is our only stop to maybe get a different appointee that has a broader perspective. I was in a room in Kodiak in 2020 with probably about 70 stakeholders from the community of Kodiak, and they were asked if they felt like the board had already made up their mind.
and every hand in that room raised up. And it was very, very disconcerting that that's what everybody thought. So please, you don't have to have a legal reason to not support these appointees. I think there's lots of people among in the state of Alaska that could bring a more diverse perspective. And
thanks, Julia. If you could wrap it up, we're well over 2 minutes, if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, I apologize. Thank you so much for the time.
Okay, thank you. Next, we're going to move on to Jack Grummet from Juneau. Jack, could you please put yourself on the record and begin?
Good afternoon, Senate Resource Committee. My name is Jack Grummet. I'm from Juneau, Alaska, and I'm representing myself in regard to my opposition of Abe Williams' nomination to the Board of Fish. As a lifelong fisherman in Alaska, I'm opposed to the nomination of Abe Williams to the Board of Fish due to his role with Pebble Limited Partnership and it being a conflict of interest. The Board has a responsibility to manage Alaska fisheries without personal bias, and I have little to no faith in someone that's willing to go against his own regional fisheries majority and is not someone that I want discussing or making decisions or proposing anything regarding Alaska fisheries. I think doing so will set a dangerous precedent and put more Alaska fish resources in future jeopardy. I'm not only opposed to Abe Williams, but I'm opposed to any Pebble Limited Partnership board member, employee, or anyone that stands to gain from the Pebble Limited Partnership. I further urge legislature to reject the nomination for Abe Williams and ask they encourage our governor to find a suitable, unbiased candidate that has both the backing and the faith of our Alaska fishermen. Alaskans deserve a board that reflects the needs of Alaskans and not self-interest. Thank you.
Thanks, Jack. Next, we're going to move on to Duncan Fields from Kodiak. Duncan, please put yourself on the record and begin.
Yes, Mr. Members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify. Duncan Fields from Kodiak, representing the Kodiak Salmon Work Group here in Kodiak. I'd like to read a couple of sentences from the Old Harbor Tribes letter, and if I have time, a couple of sentences from the Yuzinki Native Corporation's letter. I'm going to focus on the conflict of interest issue with regard to Merritt Carlson Van Dort. Kodiak Salmon Work Group represents fishing groups here on the island, the processors, and the community stakeholders on these Board of Fish issues. And the conflict of interest issue for Merritt Van Dort is the personal conflict of interest. And I'm sitting here with lots of legalese to read to you, but I'm trying to think about how to make it real. And the indulgence of Senator Stevens, the issue is Senator Stevens works his entire life on behalf of the community of Kodiak, all his adult life. Senator Stevens is Kodiak. He's identified as Kodiak. He represents Kodiak. Let's think in some future iteration that he's in a decisional body. He's not paid by anybody, but he's faced with a decision between the community of Kodiak and another community. It doesn't pass the red face test or any other test to say that Senator Stevens would not have a personal conflict of interest relative to the interests of the community of Kodiak. That's Merritt Carlson Van Dort with regard to issues involving Chignik fisheries. Her dad was an advocate for fisheries in Chignik. She can't separate herself from those communities and their interests. She does an admirable job. She's to be respected for all she does on behalf of the Chignik communities. She's a tremendous advocate for those communities, president of their Native Corporation. But because of that, she has a personal conflict of interest relative to fishery decisions for those communities, and she chose not to recuse herself. That's the issue Kodiak Salmon Work Group and many commercial fishermen across the state believe should disqualify her from being confirmed as a Board of Fish representative. A couple of other things, reading very quickly from the tribal letter of North Harbor.
Please, quickly, we're over 2 minutes now, Mr. Fields.
Thank you for indulging. I'll just read three sentences. We hear that Ms. Carlson Van Dort is claiming that she's a subsistence representative to the council. This is the tribal council, Mo Parker. Such as assertion makes us defensive. When has she relied on subsistence for her food supply? We know here in Old Harbor what reliance on subsistence is. It's woven into our community fabric.
Merritt Carlson Van Dort is an urban resident. She is only minimally a subsistence user and shouldn't be viewed as a Board of Fish member representing subsistence interests. Thank you for indulgence, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Duncan. Next, we'll move on to Paul Shadura from Kenai. Paul, please put yourself on the record and begin.
Thank you, Senator Weback and members of the Senate Resource Committee. My name is Paul A. Shadura II. I reside on the Kenai Peninsula and have been a commercial fisherman for 53 years, even though my families have ties in Alaska for hundreds of years. I've been an active participant in the Board of Fisheries process since the early 70s and served on many resource-related committees, including the Kenai Sedona Fishing Game AC, as vice chair and designated commercial fishing interest seat for many of those years. Some board members frequently state they facilitated discussions with individuals who commercially fish. What they do not appear to acknowledge is that many of these discussions are with a limited few individuals representing a limited area of the fishing grounds. Disregarding the majority of user groups and individuals to benefit a few does not constitute fair or impartial dialogue and thus equitable solutions. We mentioned this, an individual mentioned earlier that there was 10 disaster declarations, three of those are in Cook Inlet. The sense of responsibility that the Board of Fish humans have as they set management plans and policies. Past governors have been cognizant of the immense responsibilities towards the people of the state, and therefore have strived to balance the expertise through the representation process. An unwritten policy, three commercial fishing interests, three sport interests, and one primarily subsistence stakeholder who may have participated in other multiple uses. When the Board of Fish travels to Western Alaska, that is where that subsistence user expertise and the knowledge is so important. I would hope that the board will consider the state as supersized and require some sensitivities to the regional perspective. We currently have a severely disproportionate board representation issue. Because of this, I cannot support the confirmation of Merritt K. Carlson Van Dort, Mackenzie Ray Mitchell, or John Webster Wood. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Paul. We're going to take a brief at ease. All right, we're back on the record, and it looks like we have nobody online to testify. Before we close public testimony, I do want to see, we do have Abe Williams and Merritt Carlson Van Dort, and if we have any questions from members of the committee, do we have any questions for either? I think these two were probably the most topic of conversation. And so real quick before we end, I would just like to give each one the opportunity just to have a brief 2 minutes if you'd like to say anything in closing. Merritt, maybe you could put yourself on the record if you have anything. If not, that's fine. If so, please, 2 minutes.
Chair Revac, thank you. This is Mark Carlson Van Dort. Just a couple of things about this conflict of interest that seems to continue to be of interest. I will just put on the record that less than 2.5% of Far West Inc. shareholders are actually Chignik permit holders, and actually less than 1.5% are in-village residents that are Chignik permit holders. So I would just offer that, and then I would just say that, you know, how we manage in the interest of conservation and to satisfy the needs of the various user groups is the board's greatest challenge. We need to be basing these on sound, defensible science and incorporating this invaluable local and traditional knowledge. And I'm capable, I'm willing to put in the hundreds, if not the thousands, of hours of hard work to serve with fairness and with balance and with integrity on this board. And I thank the chairman for the opportunity to close. Thank you.
Thank you, Marit. Next, any questions for Mr. Williams from members of the committee? Abe, if you're online and you'd like to say anything, please, 2 minutes.
Thank you, Chairman Revac and members of the committee. Again, thanks for taking the time and the job that you guys do. I understand that, you know, my current employment at Pebble is a hot topic for many. I think a couple things to note is in regard to my not only my concern, but advocacy around conservation for fisheries. My years involved in Bristol Bay out here have proven that I'm certainly a conservationist when it comes to that. The Quijack River system was a river that was failing its to make its minimum escapement run from 1996 until the mid-2000s. And during that time, the fishermen the best efforts to help not only protect that run, but make sure that it was going to become sustainable into the future. And so I'm not shy around that the conservation topic. And I believe that I think the accusations against me that I don't care about conservation are unfounded. With that said, again, I thank you guys and would appreciate your support.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Williams. I still see no additional folks online to testify. Again, thank you to all of you who took your time to call in and give testimony. I'll say it one last time. The email address is sres@akleg.gov to submit your written testimony. We're going to close public testimony. Public testimony is now closed. And with that, I think we can have a motion, Mr. Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the following named appointee to the Alaska Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission be forwarded to a joint session of the legislature for consideration. Melvin Smith of Anchorage.
Thank you. Are there any objections? Seeing none, the motion passes. Can I get another motion, Mr. Vice Chair?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move that the following named appointees to the Board of Fisheries be forwarded to a joint session of the legislature for consideration. Mackenzie Mitchell, Abe Williams, John Wood, and Marty Carlson Van Dort, as well as John Jensen.
Thank you. Are there objections? All right, seeing no objections, the motion passes. Please stick around and sign the document. For the record, in accordance with AS 3905080, a signature on this report does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of the individuals during any further sessions. Thank you again to all who called to testify and the folks from the DNR who are online to answer questions. We appreciate all of you. With that, we're adjourned at 4:51.